We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you are buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
The ESL Rochester Fringe Festival, the most anticipated festival in the region, will once again excite audiences with nearly 650 performances September 9th through the 20th. From comedy, dance, and theater to jaw-dropping spectacles across 39 venues all around Rochester. Don't miss amazing performances in the Spiegel Tent, including the world premiere of Cirque du Fringe Claws Out, Shot Sphere, Kids Fringe, and more. And direct from Italy, Sphere, a mind-blowing outdoor spectacle, free at Parcel 5, September 19th and 20th. RochesterFringe.com.
Yo, how's it going? Welcome. Welcome to take two of this podcast. Take one was 18 minutes long, and I got a little emotional. I didn't cry, not that kind of emotion. It was more like I got mad. I got angry when I started talking about how this was handled by iHeart Management. But we'll do that again in this one. Don't worry. We're not going to skip that part. I just wanted to dial it back and be a little more professional than I was. In the original version of this, I also did hesitate to put this out because, one, I was just to use a Wheeze word, verklempt, to, like, know even what to say yesterday. I mean, I literally just texted him, you know, love you, bro, thank you for everything. Like, I couldn't figure out the words. It's too big of a thing to know what to say. And I also didn't want to make it about myself. That's not discrediting anyone who's written posts or done videos or done podcasts or anything like that. It's everyone, do whatever you want to do. It's fine. I'm no judgment at all. I'm just like, it just felt like maybe rushing to put a podcast out yesterday right after the announcement would have been a little bit making it about myself. And I also was in between meetings, so I literally just pulled out my recorder and started recording while I was driving to a meeting. So I was just wasn't in the right mindset to say the things that I want to say. And what I want to start with is what Wheeze means to me. There is a golden rule of speaking, and one of those golden rules when you're honoring somebody is make it about them, not about you. But the truth is, in this case, this is about me because Wheeze made me who I am today. He made me a better person. He made me good at what I do. And I 100% would not be where I am today without Brother Wheeze. And you know, we fought, we did, we argued, we disagreed sometimes, but we laughed so hard, so often, that the little bouts of fighting in between were just speed bumps in a much smoother and more beautiful highway as we had really wonderful times. I was with Wheeze for almost exactly 10 years. I mean, I think it was like 9 years and 11 months. It was almost exactly 10 years that I was with Wheeze, which is a pretty long time. I mean, spending a decade seeing somebody almost every single day was a big deal. And so Wheeze rubbed off on me in some really good ways. And number one, the absolute biggest way that Brother Wheeze had an influence on me is that he gave me the confidence to be myself. Wheeze was 100% authentic all the time. I've never seen anyone be more authentic. I mean, I was in radio for years. I saw dozens of personalities who were different when the mic was on and when the mic was off. And Wheeze was no different. I think Bob Lonsberry, who wrote a really beautiful post about Wheeze, had a really great line towards the end of his post where he said, Wheeze didn't do radio, he did life, the microphone just happened to be on. I could not possibly articulate it better than that. That is exactly what Wheeze was doing. He was just living his life and then stopping by the radio station every morning and turning on the microphone for a few hours of his life. And nobody's ever been more fascinating to watch and observe. He is just a part of the fabric of Rochester. I mean, what he means to me is I'm sitting right now, I'm recording this in my car. I'm sitting outside of a factory that I own that wouldn't be possible without a few people. And there's a handful of people on that list. They know who they are. This particular podcast is about one of the people on that list, and that person is Brother Wheeze. Some of it, very practical, very obvious. I got a ton of free advertising when I worked on the Brother Wheeze show. I mean, he brought up the sauce all the time. Without that, wouldn't be where I am. Absolutely not. Wouldn't have gotten that head start that I got. Wouldn't have got that promotion that so many brands desperately need but can't get early on. And I am not blind to that. Not at all. In less obvious ways, though, Wheeze taught me confidence. He taught me to be myself. Wheeze was so authentically himself all the time, and it didn't always rub everyone the right way. Yeah, 99% of people loved Wheeze, but 1% of people didn't like him. And you know what he said? He couldn't make everybody happy. You know what? Look, once in a while, somebody's not going to like me. It is what it is. Be true to yourself. That was Wheeze. That was Wheeze. Wheeze was a guy who just did his thing. And I don't like talking about Wheeze was a guy. Wheeze is a guy who just does his thing. I don't want to make it sound like he's dead. In fact, the good news is he's not. Because my fear was he was planning on dying in the chair. And I really think he might have died in that chair. In fact, we joked a few times when I was on the air that it would be his greatest bit yet was when he goes out in the chair. And I think the blessing in disguise, the silver lining here, is the fact that Brother Wheeze is going to actually have a retirement. I don't know if Wheeze would have chosen a retirement. And something you need to know as Wheeze's listener is that that was for you. He was going to do that for you. That was because he didn't want to leave you. He loved you. He wanted to be on the air for you. And even though he could go and could have went into a cushy retirement many years ago, he was never going to choose to do that. That dude was going to die in that chair if they let him. And so I will say a small amount of silver lining to this is at least someone is forcing him to go and enjoy the sunset years of his life. Enjoy what he's built with his wife. He's got wonderfully successful, beautiful children. He's got grandbabies. He's got, the beautiful just home in Fort Lauderdale, which I've had the pleasure of visiting. And of course, out in Sodus Point, where he's just got a picturesque home as well and backyard. And he deserves to enjoy those things. And so while I am very angry, and we're going to get to that in a minute, about how it went down, I will say the silver lining is he's actually going to get to enjoy some things I don't think he was going to get to enjoy because of how much he loved you. He was going to die in that chair. You know, Wheeze is like part of the fabric of Rochester. I mean, what he means to Rochester, there was this thing that used to go around, probably still does, that's like 100 ways you know you're from Rochester. And the first thing on the list was waking up with the Wheeze doesn't mean what you think it means. Because, of course, anybody anywhere else would think waking up with a Wheeze means you woke up sick. But in Rochester, we know it means something completely different. It was number one on the list of 100 ways you know you're from Rochester. Everyone in radio in Rochester will tell you they grew up listening to Wheeze. Everybody in radio in Rochester will tell you that they either worked with him at some point or wish they worked with him at some point. I mean, you're talking about something that transcends superstar. You're talking about something that transcends legend. I don't know if I've heard anyone use this word yet. I think it's icon. I think you can, I can't think of a more grandiose word than icon, which is, I think, what he is. He will just go down forever as the man who defined radio in Rochester, which brings me to the next thing to talk about here, which is radio in general. And I mean, we witnessed a radio station be murdered yesterday live on the air, right? Like Wheeze signing off and then them going to a music format, the syndicated morning show, music all day. I think there is an afternoon show, right? Tools and Jeremy Newman. But from what I'm understanding, that's actually, they're playing music on that show. So that's probably voice tracked, which is basically just radio terminology for recorded. Maybe it's not. I don't know if it's voice tracked or not, but whatever it is, it's going to be, you know, in the shadow of the music, which is just sickening. So they killed it. They took the radio station out back and shot it in the head yesterday. Radio stations that play music are just jukeboxes that nobody's listening to. The only hope anybody has in radio these days is to serve a niche. And which, you know, what happened and why I'm angry about it is coming in a minute, I promise. But before we get to what, let's talk about why. The why is that radio is dying. And that's the thing that, as critical as I can be about management and this decision and past decisions, the one thing I can't deny is that I don't know if there's anything local management could have done to save radio in general. The industry in general is in a lot of trouble. They mostly haven't had spotlight on them because newspaper is the thing everyone always talks about when they talk about traditional media dying. Everybody goes right to the newspaper and says, well, newspaper's dying. But nobody really, radio's right behind it in line, in that decline. The best example I can give you is, you know, 30 years ago, 100 people drive to work and you survey them all on their way into work and ask them what they listen to, you'll get three or four answers. Those 100 people probably listen to, you know, just to keep it local to Rochester, I don't know, what, Wheeze? Maybe PXY? Wham? What else? What am I missing? NPR? I don't know. You know, four things, maybe? Now, in 2025, you survey 100 people on their way into the workplace who just got through their commute, and you say, what did you listen to on your way to work today? You're probably going to get 100 different answers. And I don't know if there's anything anybody could have done to stop that. I mean, that's just technology coming in and creating something just unbeatable. It was unbeatable, I think, for radio to figure out how to beat that. Now, if there's anything it could have done, it's just sort of buckle down into the niches and, you know, let people like Brother Wheeze exist and serve their niche, which up until yesterday they were allowing to do. But there was another reason why radio is dying that is something that could have been stopped. And I can really only speak to the local market here in Rochester, but at my company that I worked for 15 years as Clear Channel Radio and later as iHeartMedia, there was never investment in young talent. There was never investment in developing young talent. Many, many young, hungry, passionate, and talented people, some of which were over with the audience, and I'm using a pro wrestling term when I say over with the audience. What I mean is that there's a thing where the audience either buys you or they don't. And that's a tough thing. That's a tough thing to make happen. It takes a lot of time. It takes being relatable. It takes being likable. It takes a lot to get over with the audience. And there have been many young talent go through that iHeartMedia Rochester system that were not invested in and just moved on and did other things. To be honest with you, as I sit outside of my plant, as I look at what's going on in my life today in real time, I look and I go, thank God they didn't invest in me because I'd still be there if they had. Who am I kidding? No, I wouldn't. I'd have been laid off at some point, but you get what I'm trying to say here, right? It could have made me take my eye off the real ball, which of course was what's going on with the manufacturing, with Sauce. It could have been detrimental to me had I allowed that to happen, you know? But had they invested in me, I might have. I might have put all of this energy into the radio. Look at Kimmy Bernstein, or Kimmy Coffee, excuse me, now. She works on WCMF, part of that morning show, big part of a very successful morning show. She worked at iHeart first. Probably was getting paid pennies Zero opportunity. Of course she left. Megan Carter's another one, worked at iHeart. Left once, went to do middays on WPXY. Was very successful there. Actually ended up back at iHeart later. Still they blew it with her. Because they don't invest in young talent. You might be saying, well, wait a second. You just mentioned Megan, right? What about Pat McMahon? Didn't they invest in Megan and Pat and put them on in the afternoon on Radio 95.1 for a while, Paulie? Didn't they do that? No, they didn't. They brought in somebody else, Earl David Reed. Hey, listen, Earl's very funny. He's a great guy. But he had absolutely no business in the Rochester market being the host of a radio show. Pat and Megan was all they needed. That is all they needed on that show. That would have been an investment in young talent, those two. Earl, listen, I'm really, really sorry. You are one of the most talented comedians ever. I'll never forget Billy DeTore saying he never has laughed harder than when you do stand-up. Earl, what I'm saying right now does feel mean. I hate that I'm saying it. But what I'm saying is that show was finished with Megan and Pat. They didn't need another person. Megan and Pat had all the chemistry they were ever going to need. By the way, you ask, what did Megan and Pat go do after that? Both of them went to be on the air in Buffalo, where Pat, I believe, still is on the air in Buffalo. Very successful. Take this other kid, Aaron Sawicki. Aaron Sawicki works at iHeart. He's a producer. Really good, talented young kid. Can't get anything going at iHeart. Goes and becomes an entrepreneur. Starts his own studio. Audio recording. All right. What about Christina? Remember Christina Lynn, Lonsbury's producer? Kimberly Beck's producer for a little while also? Right? Not enough opportunity for her to make big girl money, I think is how she described it, at iHeart. So she goes to do something else. I mean, and then even I could get insane. I could even go back in the day. Look at Charlie Fitzsimmons. Look at how successful that guy has been. Could you imagine if you had managed to take a guy like Charlie Fitzsimmons, channel his initial passion, which was radio, that's where he wanted to work at first, and figure out a way to take all that entrepreneurial spirit that Charlie had going and channel that into radio, what Charlie probably could have been? And frankly, honestly, I hate to be so dramatic and I hate to sound like an egomaniac, but I will for a second. But same thing with me. All the entrepreneurial spirit that I've shown, imagine if I was channeling that into a radio station, into a radio show. There's this term called intrapreneur. What it means is it means that you're sort of like an entrepreneur, but within another organization. So it's when you work in for somebody else, you work in a company, and you're in charge of a small slice of that company, but it's really your ball to run with. That's intrapreneurship, and that's really what it would be like in radio. You're kind of an intrapreneur. You've been given a radio show. You work for another company. You're not technically an entrepreneur, but you're treating your radio show like your own little enterprise. I mean, the list of people that just were not invested in over the years goes on and on and on. And what happened is, what happens, and what has happened to them now at that cluster, iHeart in Rochester, is they did not invest in their future, and now they do not have a future. It's as simple as that. So what happened with Wheez coming on the air and announcing with about an hour notice that this would be his last show, that's despicable, and that is not on Wheez. And listen, I don't know. I have not talked to Wheez since he made that announcement. I imagine he's very busy and he's hearing from everyone. But that is not how you go out as an icon. I firmly believe that was not what Wheez wanted and not how he wanted to go out. I believe that given the options, the gun to his head, he chose the best option because, as he explained on the air, it sounds like perhaps he was offered, you know, weekends or a night show or something like that. And he's, you know, again, he taught me to be authentic. I'm uncomfortable with what I said a couple of minutes ago where I sounded egomaniac-like, where I said, boy, look what I could have been. But, you know, I learned from Wheez, just be yourself. And Wheez said right on the air, I am a broadcast Hall of Famer. I'm not getting relegated to weekends. That was beautiful. And it told me everything I needed to know about how this probably went. First of all, you might be thinking this has been in the works for months. Oh, no. No, 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 no. If I know iHeart Management, this has been in the works for days, like probably weeks, but Wheez probably didn't get clued into this until late last week if I'm being honest. But I don't know that for sure. That's conjecture. I don't know exactly. But from what I understand, from what I gathered between what was on the air and what Lonsberry wrote on his post, just detective work, I don't have inside information. It sounds like they told Weez, read this statement at noon and announce this format flip from Radio 95.1 to Rock 95.1. And Weez decided basically overnight, I'm not going to do that. This is my last show. That's what it sounds like to me probably happened. And good for him. With the hand he was dealt, that poker player we all know and love played his best possible hand and won what portion of that pot he could by taking an hour to say goodbye. But an hour sickens me to my core for Brother Weez. Here's exactly what should have happened. Brother Weez should have announced yesterday that his final show would be Friday, December 19th. You know, basically the end of the year. That would be the last show. That would be in a traditional Weez calendar year. That would have been his last show before a two-week holiday vacation. Brother Weez should have announced yesterday that his final show would be December 19th. That would allow several months to celebrate Brother Weez. By the way, the fact that iHeart Management didn't recognize the money they left on the table by not allowing Weez to drag out his retirement for several months is astonishing. It is astonishing that they did not see how much they could have built around a Weez's final ride tour. My God, the money they left on the table. My God. Oh my God, what they could have done with him for the last few months. The advertising they could have sold, the ears they could have had on that show, they could have spent months bringing, and they should have done this, they should have brought everyone who ever had a significant role on that show for the entirety of its life should have been brought back for one segment, one final. Every single person should have been brought back for one more segment. Absolutely, they should have. I'll tell you, we used to fantasize. Billy DeTore put this in his post on Facebook, and he's right. He and I used to fantasize about one day when Weez retired, we really were looking forward to producing those last at least few weeks, even few months, because we wanted to do that, right? We wanted to bring back every possible character from the decades of him being on the air and give them one more time, you know, one more chance to be on the air. But my God, if I am flabbergasted or verklempt by anything, it is iHeart's failure to see the money they left on the table by not doing the Weez is retiring in December tour. They could have done appearances. Again, the advertising, the radio they could have done, the stuff they could have teased. Oh, my goodness gracious. I, you know, here's what you need to know. I believe the flaw, the fundamental flaw, why iHeart Rochester has never been able to compete with, they were called Entercom when I was there. I believe now they are called Odyssey, which is the main competitor in Rochester of radio stations, is because they do not understand what you want. I can't fathom having a product where the end user is somebody that I don't understand, or even worse, oftentimes, I think they don't care what you want. They don't treat you with the respect you deserve as the end consumer of the product that they put on. They think you're stupid, frankly. People disappear from the air, they don't mention them. I think they quietly, in fact, I know, they quietly let Deanna King go through this entire thing. Not a single freaking mention. Not one. It's disrespectful to the audience, let alone Deanna and the dozens of other people that they've fired along the way. It's just disrespectful. It's just I think that the particular management that's in place right now has always been a little bit too subjective in the way they manage. They sort of dabble in the creativity of what's going on the radio far more than they have the ability to. But I just think at the end of the day, they don't care what you want as the end user. And perhaps they don't care because they just don't even know what you want. They don't understand what you want. They can't comprehend it. I don't know. That's it. So a 1 hour, one single hour to say goodbye to his audience. But let's look at the positive. Let's spin this thing back into the positive. We got him. We had him for, 45 years? Did he go on the air in 1980, I think? I think early 80s at least, well over 40 years. We had that guy on the air every single day. That is a very special treasure that every one of us got to share. Some of us in different ways. It's not lost on me how lucky I am that I got to look him in the eyes as he did radio for an entire decade. I could not be more thankful to have known you. I could not be more in your debt forever for what you did for me. I love you so much. You are on my Mount Rushmore of people who got me where I am today. And I am so lucky to have anything I have today. And there are definitely other people. I can't leave out my wife, my mother, my business partner, and many other people along the way that are also on that Mount Rushmore. But make no mistake, your ugly mug is on that Mount Rushmore and always will be. You'll be somebody I will remember and cherish until the day I die. I can't put into words just how much that time meant to me. Yeah, and he took a chance on me, man. I mean, I was answering phones. I begged to answer his phones. And I got really lucky because he just happened to be the kind of guy who would talk to anybody. He would talk to me, and I always had something to say back. And I think he got a kick out of it. And I count my blessings every day. Great ride, brother. The best there's ever been. What is it? What's the saying? The best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. Brother Wheeze.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch Hour Podcast Network.